So if I've pressed the right buttons, I believe that I am speaking with Josh Feldstein, the leader of the Verve Jazz Ensemble. Josh, are you there?
I am.
There you are. Groovy. Hey, did you put this group together in 2006? That's a long time ago.
Yes, Michelle. I started the Verve Jazz Ensemble back in 2006. We were a local bunch of jazz players that just enjoyed music very, very much. And because of my love of the music that came out of the Verve record label, I paid homage to the label by naming the group, innocently at the time, the Verve Jazz Ensemble, and never thinking that we'd have national or international coverage 15 years later. But here we are.
Here you are, indeed. Now, on your website, I was reading those wonderful quotes, and Ellis Marsalis said, the Verve Jazz Ensemble is the new modern jazz quartet. What do you think he meant by that exactly?
Well, the late and amazing Ellis Marsalis was a man. If you listen to his music and you listen to the genre from which he emerged, the MJQ, the Modern Jazz Quartet, was a confluence of both contemporary and legacy music, Michelle, in the jazz world. And they were really, really respected in terms of bringing the sounds of jazz to a contemporary audience of people who both loved jazz and was familiar with it, and people who were neophytes of jazz, and sort of spoke to the palette of both of those audiences. And when Ellis heard our music, he felt that the VJE similarly has a sound and an approach to jazz that is appealing to both the aficionado and the neophyte at the same time in the jazz idiom. So we were very flattered at his comment.
That's a great comment from a great man. Do you think the modern jazz quartet had the similar intention that you did to sort of, you know, not introduce necessarily, but, you know, all those people who said, well, I don't like jazz. I don't really like jazz. You know, to get through to those people and say, hey, wait a minute. What about what we're doing here? This is for you. Do you think that was their intention, too?
Well, it would be presumptuous of me to say
Go ahead.
I can't do that, Michelle. I can't be presumptuous, but I can say that they accomplished that. So whether that was intended or it wasn't intended, that's one of the things that they accomplished. And I think for that, we have to give them the appropriate amount of acknowledgement. If you listen to the MJQ's music, you hear not only the legacy of hard bop and swing and all of the various components of jazz that have layered on top of each other over the decades, but you also hear the influence of classical music. You hear the influence of playing with different timbres and different approaches to sound construction and meter. You hear some contemporary influences that they were willing to take chances. And so they kind of put it all together, and they evolved into something that brought all these disparate pieces in together in one musical form. And I think that's one of the things that the MJQ really established as their trademark.
I agree completely. That's a great, great point. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Josh Feldstein. He's the leader of the Verve Jazz Ensemble. The Verve Jazz Ensemble is the artist this year at the Jazz at Sunset concert, which is Friday, August 25th, coming right up. It's an early evening concert, 6 p.m., and we are so excited to have the Verve Jazz Ensemble. You're our artist of the month here at WICN as well, so we've been hearing a lot of your great music. Josh, you know, something you just said made me think about, I'm also a musician, and I know that when I perform, the most important thing to me is whether or not the audience has a good time. And so you don't necessarily want to pander to them and play, you know, Mustang Sally 18 times in a row. But at the same time, they're the reason that we're lucky enough to get up there and do it. That's kind of what you were just talking about with the Modern Jazz Quartet, that despite the breadth and depth of the palette from which they drew, they always remembered what they were doing up there and that there were people out there listening, and that's to whom they were the most beholden. Do you have a similar approach in your, I mean, it sounds like you do.
I think you've described it brilliantly, Michelle, and I can say with confidence and with respect that when we perform or record, our goal is to bring together melodies that people love. We identify melodies sometimes that are more obscure. So, for example, at the concert that we're going to be having for the jazz at Sunset event, we've got a very broad palette from the Great American Songbook to original compositions by band members. We'll be playing the music of Dizzy Gillespie, Count Basie, Herbie Hancock, Wayne Shorter, Antonio Carlos Jobim, and so on. And so we look to bring a wide range of sounds and genres from Latin to Afro-Cuban to straight ahead to contemporary to a whole range of meters and different things. We're going to be playing trio. We'll be playing quartet arrangements. So what we try to do is very much what you just described. The name of the game is to keep the ear fresh, from my perspective. And I think it makes it more interesting for the listener to hear a wide range of styles and approaches and tempos and sounds, because that's some of the things that we respond to creatively as listeners. The idea of having a very broad palette is something that keeps sound fresh. And because jazz is such a varied art form, we feel that it's important to pull from all the different colors in the spectrum.
Well, I think that's a great point. I always like to say that I like to have people in my band that have a huge toolbox and enough sense not to use all the tools. It's the number of tools that you have in there that informs everything that you do. But at the same time, sometimes I think that what stops people from really appreciating music is that sometimes the musicians themselves just get so hung up on, hey, look at this new tool I have. And they whip out all their tricks, but they forget that the audience needs to be dialed in. You guys, just started playing live when you first started out, and it was your fans who demanded that you make a recording. Is that right?
Yes. You know, the two comments. Number one is, you're so right. I'm a drummer, of course, and so one of the things I always look to for inspiration are other drummers. And the great Art Blakey with the Jazz Messengers, he had a quote, and Michelle, he said, "You can't play everything you know in one solo."
Or you ought not to, anyway.
And so the idea is, you have to make a decision. What are you going to say? What are you going to do in a song or in a solo? And when you make your point, you've made your point. And then you have to pass the baton. That's something that we feel strongly about. Now, in a live event at the Jazz at Sunset concert, we're going to have the opportunity, obviously, to take an extra chorus. And if the energy of the audience is such that, you know, the music requires a little bit more soloing, so be it. That's great, because you're feeding off the energy of the audience. But it is very important to keep your antenna up and open when playing in any environment, because it's the interchange with the audience that makes all of the music come to life.
Absolutely. The audience and the interchange with the band. I think that you make such a great point, Josh, because the ability to really listen carefully to what the other people on stage are doing. I mean, it depends on so many different things. First of all, actually being able to hear them, which you and I both know as performers isn't always the case, but when you're fortunate enough to have all the stars line up and you can hear everything, there just isn't anything better than that mutual back and forth bouncing around between the people on stage and the people listening, because that makes it into a community event. It connects everybody, and of course that's what we're all about here at WICN. It's all about our community, our beautiful community, and I know that that's what's so important to you. That's what you're talking about right now, about connecting people, not only more closely with jazz music, but with one another. And I think now, has that gotten even more important to you since, you know, over the last few years with COVID and everything, as we start to recover from this and be able to play live again, which is so wonderful? Have you found that the connection and connectivity and community has gotten even greater? What's your experience been?
Well, I think initially, definitely. I think people were starved to reconnect. And I think that the first year or so, after everybody has sort of come out from hibernation, the answer to that is absolutely correct. I think I'm hoping that a lot of the transition back to quote normal life has been made, and I think that people are far more back into the groove at the present time. That's kind of what I'm seeing. And you know, just to tie back to the question that you asked before about starting out with our original recordings and did we have music that we could offer to our listening audience? We were playing live for many years, and audiences would constantly say, "Do you have a CD that we can buy?" And the answer was no. You can come listen to us play, but we don't have any CDs. So eventually, we recorded one. It took us years. And the name of the first album that we recorded, Michelle, was It's About Time. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's double entendre there. You know, it's about time relative to it took you long enough to get a CD out there, Verb Jazz Ensemble. Thank you very much. But it was also an acknowledgement relative to the art. And it is all about time, and it is about timing, and it's about listening, and it's about interchange. And that has always been a core, really, of the jazz art form in the United States. And at WICN, you guys pay a lot of attention to this very important intersection. It's very important to our band, and of course we'll look forward to bringing this forward at the Jazz at Sunset concert on the 25th. But we're very excited about that, by the way, and we're really looking forward to performing.
Well, we are really looking forward to having you. If you're just joining us, once again, I'm speaking with Josh Feldstein. He is the leader of the Verve Jazz Ensemble, and as Josh just mentioned, they'll be performing at the Jazz at Sunset concert this year. It's Friday, August 25th. The show's at 6 p.m. You'll hear them all month long because they're also our Artist of the Month. We are really enjoying digging into the deep, deep palette from the Verve Jazz Ensemble, and I'm glad you listened to your fans and started making records. All of your albums have premiered at the top of the charts, and they are all just fantastic. They really appealed to me because I don't know that much about jazz. I've learned a lot from my fellow co-hosts here, but I know what I like. And one of the things I like is Verve Jazz Ensemble, specifically because of everything that you talked about. Because I feel as a listener that sure, you're absolutely accomplished jazz musicians individually and together as a group, but you're also speaking to me, just a person who's listening to the music. You're not leaving me out. You're definitely making sure that what you're doing is there for me, the listener. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that, and it's rare. Sometimes people get too hung up on trying to make the point that they want to make. And I'm not putting that down as an artist. You know, it's a valid thing. But at the same time, if you're going to be a person that does work and does concerts and makes records and has audiences, you got to remember the audience. You guys always do that. And it's wonderful to see and hear.
Thank you. Super, super important point. And, the truth of the matter when it comes to jazz is that not a lot of people listen to jazz anymore, Michelle. I don't think it's more than a couple of 3% of the American population routinely listen to jazz. It's become a pretty specific art form, like classical music. And I think part of the reason is that over the last 10, 20, 30 years, there has been a lot more focus, rightly or wrongly, on some pretty advanced development technically, rhythmically, and polyrhythmically, and all of this that the musicians have gotten into. And stuff is amazing, but the average listener has a hard time tracking because they don't have the history. They don't necessarily have the listening chops to be able to appreciate all of this, you know? So our perspective is you can really tap into that. And at the same time, you can make you can show somebody where the front door is, and you're not going to lose anything. You know, it can both be accomplished. And so we do our very best to try to bring both of those pieces together. And I think you articulated it very well.
I'm sitting here nodding my head like you can see me. Absolutely. What you just said. Absolutely. Well, we are really looking forward to having you. This is, I'm speaking with Josh Feldstein. He's the leader of the Verve Jazz Ensemble. They are the Jazz at Sunset artist. That's coming right up August 25th at 6 p.m. If you don't have your tickets yet, you definitely want to go ahead and get yourself some tickets. Josh, I want to put you on the spot one more time and ask you, suppose there was somebody that you were talking to and they countered with, well, what is the big deal? Why should I support public radio? Why should I support this little jazz station in Worcester? What would you say to somebody like that? Why is it important?
Well, the only real, genuine, original art form in the United States of America is jazz. And it's really important that we maintain a relationship to this American art form. It ties together so many parts of our community, culture, decades of experience in our country through wars, through all kinds of social transformations. And jazz has sort of been the thread that has moved musically through all of these different components of our society. There is an incredible richness in the African-American community, the white and black communities together, work that's been done in the Hispanic and Latino communities relative to the introduction and integration of Latin and Afro-Cuban influence. And now we have literally global influence relative to this music. So this music has an odd depth and a scope that really can touch just about every component of our society. And that would be my response to your very important question. And I think that as Americans, we owe it to ourselves to have some appreciation and engagement with our own art form.
Wow. I love that. That was gorgeous. I love that. Appreciate your time so much, Josh. I know how busy you must be, but thank you so much for taking the time to call in and speak with us this morning. And really looking forward to the concert on August 25th. Thank you so much, Josh Feldstein from the Verve Jazz Ensemble.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day, Michelle.
Okay, bye.
Bye.